Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahirrabbilalamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi. Wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran kathira. Amma ba'd. We have begun the discussion in regards to marad al-maut and the final illness that leads to a person's demise. As we had mentioned, that during a person's lifetime, then he has free will in regards to his wealth, his belongings, whatever he owns, how he wishes to use them, how he wishes to dispose of them. But once a person becomes unable, incapable, then Sharia puts some restrictions on him once he becomes ill, becomes bedridden, or is unable to do his basic chores. For a man, he's unable to go to the masjid, or for a woman, she cannot do her domestic chores at home. So during that period of time when a person becomes incapable or unable according to Shariat, and during the period of time if they have to effect any contracts or do any transactions, what is the Sharia ruling? So in this article is mentioned a few examples which we will read from just to get some understanding. Here under our basic rules that are applicable during maradul maut. Maradul maut, as we mentioned, the final illness of a person before he passes away. That illness he never recovered from, and due to that illness he or she passed away. So charitable agreements such as gifting or donating, charitable sadqa, charitable agreements such as gifting or donating are treated like bequests. What does it mean that a person in his final illness that leads to his death, as we mentioned also before, we don't know that a person will pass away because of this illness. So the heirs, executors have to keep a record. Person is bedridden, is unable to go to the masjid, she's unable to do her domestic chores at home. So in that period of time, he's giving something in charity, building a borehole, digging a borehole, or towards the masjid, madrasa, whatever it may be. So whatever gifting takes place, whether charity, like as you mentioned, or gifting to certain heirs of the family, give the daughter something, give the son something, or the grandchildren something, for example. So all these giftings or donations will be treated as bequests. What does it mean? That when it comes to bequests, we understand you really can bequeath and make a bequest within 1/3 of your estate. During that time also, maradul maut, the last illness, a person can only donate equal or less or equal to 1/3 of the estate. Anything more than 1/3, then after the demise of that person, the heirs will go into it. That during this period of time, so and so donated more than 1/3. So we have to revisit that charity, the sadqa, the donation. Hence a gift to an heir is invalid. A gift to an heir is invalid unless the rest of the heirs permit it after the demise of the deceased. So after the demise, because as we mentioned before also, la wasiyata li warithin, there is no bequest to any heir. A person that will inherit from you, you cannot make a bequest that after my demise, so and so property or so and so amount of cash will be given to this heir. Not permissible. So a person in the last illness now gave something to an heir. So that gifting will be invalid because it's treated as a bequest. And there's no bequest for an heir. But yes, after the demise of that person, if the heirs get together and they make mashwara, they consult, and they agree that mother or father gave the certain donation or gift to one of the heirs, we are happy with this, we don't have a problem with it, then it will be permissible. But as we mentioned also, that among the heirs, the discussion is taking place, that a certain gift was given during the fatal illness of father or mother to certain brother or sister, then the executors will call up all the heirs, make mashwara, are you happy with it? Correct way, put a price, put a value to that gift that was given during the last illness. This is the amount. So and so, you're entitled to so much. You, daughter or sister, entitled to so much. So they must know the amounts and the figures. And ask individually, Are you happy to allow this gifting to go through or not? Because it could be when we are sitting together, then as we say, emotional blackmail, as we call it. That all will say, yes, we are happy with it. But there may be one daughter that needs the money right now. So she feel overwhelmed. How can I say no? Whereas mother gave this to a certain daughter, and I have an objection to this. Therefore the executor should ask each one individually, you are entitled to this amount of that gift, are you happy to let it go or not? But accordingly they can give the consent or not. A gift to a non-heir is valid on condition that the value of the gift is lesser than one third or equal to one third of the entire estate. A gift to a non-heir. So this person in their fatal illness, the last illness, wants to give a gift to a non-heir. For example, to a grandchild. I wish to give this now to my granddaughter or grandson. But this is a non-heir, depending who the heirs are. Or whoever it may be in the family. So they wish to give a gift to a non-heir. So this gifting during the period of time will be valid on condition that the value of the gift is lesser than one third or equal to one third of the entire estate. This will know after the demise. Executors will work it out. During that illness, the person was incapable, was bedridden, gave a gift to so and so, whether it be some car, vehicle, property, whatever it may be. So does it come out from one third of the estate or not? If it does, then the gifting is correct. There's no need for mashwara now. It is a valid gift to that person and it will go through. If the value of the gift exceeds one third of the estate and the heirs do not permit its formulation more than one third and they are unhappy with this, is more than one third of the estate, because more than one third will go to the heirs, they are unhappy with this. The recipient of the gift will be obliged. The recipient of the gift will be obliged to return the surplus amount back to the estate. Simple example. If one third of the estate was 30,000 ren, and the gifting during the fatal illness was 40,000 ren, so it was 10,000 more. So they will revisit this gift, and if they are unhappy with this, then they will go back to that non-heir, that during the fatal illness of our father, they gave you a certain amount of money, so 10,000 is owed back to the estate. So that will have to be given back to the heirs. Another example is the sale of a commodity. A sale of a commodity to an heir is suspended. During this illness also, a person sells his vehicle to his son. Son is an heir. So he sells the vehicle to his son during that illness or whatever, a property also. So that sale will be suspended upon the permission of the rest of the heirs after the deceased or death. If they permit the sale, it's valid. Otherwise, it will be invalid. A sale of a commodity to a non-heir for the normal market price is valid. If the sale is lesser than the market price, then it is considered to be charity to the purchaser, which will be valid. If the discounted amount is equivalent to one-third or lesser than the value of the entire estate, the sale is valid. However, if the discounted amount exceeds one-third of the estate, and the heirs do not permit such a discount, the purchaser will be obliged to return the surplus to the estate. There are many, many more examples, my dear brothers. This is just now for us to understand that this is such a chapter in Sharia. So we understand that if this did happen in the past, or presently right now somebody is ill, so there are these masail in Sharia. The point here is that we don't want to take something which doesn't belong to us. We don't want to eat something. Possibly in that estate they are yatim, they are orphans. And these things happen. It can happen, for example, a person's own son or child predeceased him. Son passed away before the father, left behind children. So now the grandfather wants to gift something to the grandchildren. And he gives quite a bit during his fatal illness. Will this be permissible or not? So these things can happen. This is a non-heir now, because the son had passed away. So all these masail are there. We have to ask ulama ikram, and the very important thing, as ulama explained, we cannot ask any masla to any alim. We have to ask the masail. Nowadays in our country, alhamdulillah, we have the fatwa departments. So when it comes to these type of maslas, the masail fatawa, when it comes to marriage, talaq, business, estates. So these are such masail that we can't just ask any alim. The person has to be involved in the fatwa department with these masail, and as we can see how intricate they are. They're just something that we are using every day. These masail that come around now and then. Therefore it's very important. Otherwise ulama say we ask any alim, any masla, and the person cannot answer, then our confidence breaks in ulama. He doesn't know the masla. It's an intricate masla. Like how we have in different fraternities. We have the normal GP, then we have the specialist. Then maybe the super specialist also. So among the ulama also, Allah Ta'ala made different categories. So we have the muftis that are on the top, alhamdulillah, they are discussing the masail, extracting them. Therefore, these things we have to inquire from them, they have the expertise, and they will explain to us. Allah Ta'ala give us understanding, Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, inshaAllah.